Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Wake up to a delicious morning with your favorite McDonald's breakfast sandwiches, now just $2, only in the app. Choose from a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, sausage McMuffin, or bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles, just $2, only in the app. That's a deal as irresistible as the sandwiches themselves. Plus, you'll save time by ordering ahead in the app. Offer valid one time per day from July 29th through September 1st at participating McDonald's. Must opt into rewards.
I'm Annie Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Myles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.
HD Smartcast.
You are listening to an HD Smartcast original.
Don't you always want to hear it right from the horse's mouth? I certainly do. I want the best and the brightest minds in the industry to tell me about it. Yeah, Tell Me About It is my latest podcast. Since I come across so many interesting people in the industry, some of my favorite students, they ask me if I can speak to some really intelligent and well-known people on hot and trending topics, you know, like content, influencers, health, branding, entrepreneurship, and more. Who am I to quiz the best and brightest, you ask? Well, I am Siddharth Deshmukh, also known as the Traveling Professor. Maybe you've heard me before somewhere. Yeah, I teach across various institutes. Join me and new experts every week over two parts where we dissect these topics and try to make sense of them. Hopefully, learn something about it when they tell me about it. This podcast is an HT Smartcast original and is available on htsmartcast.com, India's fastest growing podcast producing platform. I have a question on that front to Mayank. Mayank, here's a question. How do you devise a new coursework? So I I've been privy to doing some of this work with you. So I'm going to keep quiet. I'm going to let you speak. How do you devise a new coursework? And how do you actually figure out whether that coursework is deep enough to move away from all the stuff that is already available or already available in other courses? What goes on in the thinking of developing any coursework from your side? Yeah.
Ours is slightly different in the sense that Flame, ours is like professional courses which are leading to outcome jobs, so hard skill oriented. It's less of liberal arts in that thought process. And therefore, our starting point is always what the industry needs. So our starting point is going through about thousands and thousands of JD. We word pass them, we figure out what the JD is looking for. And from the JD, we figure out what are the skills that people are looking at. Once we know the skills, so that we start by asking the question, what do we want them to do? Rather than saying, what do we want them to know? So when we know what we want them to do, we work backwards to create three levels of learning objectives. And every time that we start creating a pedagogy sort of learning flow,
Can you explain the difference between knowing and doing? I think it's a very important thing.
I think a fair amount of what we have learned in our school is that I need to know XYZ in history or in geography or in maths also. But I do want to come to a place where if I do this module, I should be able to write my own chatbot.
Right.
If I do this, I should be able to run my own Facebook campaign. Rather than knowing in the process of that, I will know how it works.
Okay.
But I should be able to execute and do, because unless you are hands-on, unless you are artisan and getting things done, it's very difficult for you to command value in the ecosystem. And for that, jokingly, I say, which I went through, for that, you have an MBA. So you have an MBA for that particular purpose. But you need to know how to do this. But once you know how to do this, we define a three level of learning objectives, which is like, at a broader level, what we sell, learning objective, and then so on and so forth, getting to how you do things. Now, when you're designing it, I think you gave that analogy, and it's very correct that you have to leverage the medium to bring people back. If I'm in a classroom, unfortunately, the classrooms have got four walls. And very, very difficult for the learner to run out. So even if I'm looking there, the four walls are created in a manner of speaking that you cannot get out of it. Even if it is bad lecture, good lecture, you have to be in there. And if I'm looking into your eyes, I can make you nod in a classroom. Unfortunately, in an online setting, let's say if it's an asynchronous one, you can, but synchronous also you can't see the full class. Maybe in some places you can, 20, 30 people. Yeah. In an asynchronous one, you cannot see the person eye to eye.
Yeah.
You have to rely on your magical moment, show that whatever that you're doing, you're making them nod. And that's the philosophy that we tell faculty members, that please do it in a manner that you are making the other person nod on the other side in the way you teach them, because they are not seeing you. And that's very important. And thus create a journey which makes it a compelling thing for people to come back. And bringing it back is very important. Therefore, we follow Bloom's taxonomy, whatever that thing is. But the fact is that you have to give them a hook to start the journey. You cannot, like a good professor in a classroom, always start by saying that, have you ever thought how Flipkart predicts the demand for what number of phones that you need to sell tomorrow? The moment you see the hook, the person starts learning. And I always use jokingly that if you remember how that Saasvi Bhavati episodes used to happen earlier.
Right.
In the last scene, when the lady of the house will walk up to a phone ring and she will pick up the phone, hello, tring, tring. And then the screen will get frozen. Agli bar dekhiye kya hota hai. And then agli bar, when you go, she says, sorry, wrong number. She will keep the phone down. But all of you actually finished the work that was supposed to be done and sat in front of the television.
Right.
She brought you back into the television room to watch it, which is what great professors do. They leave the classroom at enter hooks, which is what, let's say, a Game of Thrones does, or a Homeland does, or a House of Cards does, that they will leave you with something that, oh, I want to see what happens, and then binge-watching happens. Unfortunately, in education, for good or for bad, we'll never have binge-watching because it has a cognitive load, whereas in entertainment, you can leave your brains aside and go through this thing. So how do you bring back that level of hook in the process with what you want them to do? With some minor tweaks of learning from what happens in Hollywood, Bollywood, and try to bring that back into learning as well.
Yeah, very good. Okay, so this actually leads me to a wonderful question for you, Dwari. Dwari, do you think that lectures are outdated now?
They've always been. The very fact that, what is the purpose of lecture solving in a modern day? See, for example, when you were in college, lecture was predominantly a method of telling you and teaching you certain element of a particular discipline. Now, post last technology driven era, wherein every knowledge bit is available to you, if the lecture is there to give you, which is already existing in the forms, whichever that form is, form could be a blog, form could be a renowned textbook, the form could be whatever, then the lecture is not doing a good job. The lecture method was used to be tutored in a particular way, that memory is important and hence you need to learn in a particular way. Today, what Mayank is saying is right. If that triangle, what Srikanth Datar also talks about, is that knowing, doing and being, right, is that I know, but what do I do with it? What do I do with that knowledge? Even if I have that, if the knowledge is not leading you to solve a problem or leading you to ask more pertinent questions in a particular way, then that knowledge is for the sake of knowledge and the memory chip being put up somewhere. And whenever that the memory has no relevance for that particular element, it's gone. So lecture, in terms of purely giving you very specific tiny bites, is outdated. Whole idea is that, my perspective is that, are we asking relevant questions or solving a problem? So for me, it's only two things which happen personally in my classroom. The subjects also, of course, I teach are more larger, you know, world oriented rather than, but there are subjects like quants or maths or finance or others where you need to learn the basics and the conceptual underpinnings of it, which I'm saying lecture is needed for that. But I think we have overdone it. 30 hours of lecture, then you're supposed to,
What will you do instead of a lecture?
I would reverse it.
Yeah.
I would reverse it and saying that, why are we even learning this concept? or right. this subject or this particular domain, for example, and reverse it. So, for example, if in my subject, for example, if I am saying I will teach you a little bit of how marketing is as a conceptual framework, or how companies think about it, how brands get built, and how consumers get understood, and so on and so forth. Reverse is that why are we even doing this, and for whom? So if you put the onus on the learner, then they will start asking these questions a lot more, and then you guide, curate, navigate, ensure that they have learned some basics, but adapt and do more on those basics so that you learn more rather than saying, you know, I've done enough of 50 cases on STP and I've learned about it. But yes, if I give you a brand or if I give you a new product, how do you go about in the market, for example? How do you link it up? That's the basic question. I might have done
the doing part,
amount of crazy amount of theoretical understanding of what entrepreneurship could be. But do you have the guts to start doing that the day when you come to the college and saying that, yeah, let's experiment and let's try doing this?
Right.
The classroom is needed to ask those questions and solve those problems.
Yeah.
And lecture is a foundation for us to just build on it so that conceptually you are not making a mistake.
Based on what you're saying, I'm getting a very strange idea of an educational institute now. I'm just going to leave this thought. I'm not asking for a response from you because I understand you're like a dean and stuff like
that. As long as you give me a job to start that educational institute, I'm okay.
Think about it. This is a peer-based socializing place, right? Wherein people are learning from, you know, you have this situation wherein people can come to a campus, learn from themselves, learn from peers, and the rest of it is happening. But you're also talking about a very interesting thing that then faculty itself, the role of faculty and all of that is going to become highly questionable.
No, I would not say questionable. What is the question that you're asking for the faculty to do? If the faculty's role was to be knowledge keeper, right, and then disseminating that knowledge, right? Okay. Now, that will evolve. I'm not saying faculty is not needed to create new knowledge. That's where research comes in. That's why, you know, new knowledge emerges out, and then there are teachers and professors who document that knowledge and disseminate that, and then students could learn from it.
Sure.
But this could be more facilitator, mentor, curator. And guide. I would not use the word curator, but maybe more facilitator and push you towards learning. Now, you've been teaching at MICA for many years, and you would have realized this, that the best students would have come back to you not for your classes. They would have come back to you on the conversation you had at Chota at 2 in the night with them.
100%.
You know, I've taught 10,000 students in last 20 years. The students who come back to me, do not tell me, Dwari, you taught us the best, Marcus was amazing and all those. They will come back on those questions which we had tried to solve for them, or they would have tried to grapple with. And I think this is where the role of a faculty would go beyond just a knowledge creator and a disseminator of knowledge. But the existing system doesn't allow you, because it's a publish or perish. So a faculty has no time.
Okay.
तुम्हारा गुरुकुल सिस्टम में क्या होता था? The guru will lay open his life, not just his knowledge, his life to the pupil.
Yeah.
And pupil will lay open and bear it himself so that his ability to imbibe and take up whatever the guru is giving you.
So now this gives me a good chance to ask Mayank one question. He's already so antsy. He's an entrepreneur, right? He had a small walk talking and his mind was whirring with different ideas. So here's the question, right? This Guru Shishya business, you had a very personalized relationship at that point in time. How do you see personalized courses happening in the future? Do you see that as a possibility? How much of a personalization can happen actually because of online? What do you feel?
Yeah, I think one of the things that we sometimes take for granted, and I think you raised that question about then what's the use of faculty members and what's the use of campus, for example.
Yeah.
I mean, just go back historically, and I can, whatever my reading of university has been, I believe that the first set of universities were created as jails, that you were supposed to send people, around them to commit rape, plunder, crime, etc. So you were put in a place where you cannot get out, and in the byproduct of that happened to be education. rather than the starting point to be education. And even if you go back to Mahabharata Ramayana, which is now running on television on a consistent basis, at least the period Ram and even the Pandavas and the Kauravas were sent to a jungle to study. They don't have to go to a campus to study. They could have studied in the glacial place that they were living in. But I think one of the crucial things, and I just want to really answer that before I come to the question, which is we tend to underestimate the value of discipline in education. And I think that's the biggest flaw why any education model in the world after... So my last biggest innovation invention that happened was printing press. After that, nothing in education has changed, which has dramatically changed the model of education, the way of doing things in education. And that's largely because we have always worked around giving and disseminating knowledge in different formats. But in the process, like we said, radio will change education, nothing happened. Television, we said, will change education, nothing happened. Internet, people said, will change education, nothing happened. And I think one of the crucial part that across all the parameters that we missed out was we underestimated the value of discipline. The best education institution in the world are located outskirts of the city, be it Kharagpur or Oxford or Cambridge, in Boston, etc. Because kids cannot get out of the campus and run out and go to a disc or a mall or a theater. They have to be in there. And Micah, for that matter, because what will the guys do? I mean, they cannot go out.
They run away all the time.
And the beauty is that you can at least get them to discipline in that period. And I think when we talk about the peer-based learning, the personalized touch, I think we fail to realize that online education is not about content. It is a lot about mentoring, coaching, feedback, which is where faculty's time should go into. I give a very simple analogy. If you have to learn Kotler today, Kotler cannot teach all of us. So Kotler created, for example, Micah, I am Ahmedabad, I am Bangalore, so on and so forth. And Kotler gave the book there. And every faculty member took its own interpretation and taught the book on campus or created a version of that on campus. That is where online education will move towards. You will have a play of great content available on YouTube, which could not be as personalized as it can be. But you will have a peer group of mentors. But it has to be stitched together. And that peer group of mentoring is currently what we call as colleges. That there are multiple colleges. There's Flame, there's Micah, there's IIMS, there is so on and so forth, where faculty members are forming their personalized bond. But there can be a technology layer which scales up that personalization bond and does not keep it limited to only one faculty to 35 things. I can get a Siddharth to talk to 10,000 students today. And in that context, Siddharth has taught 10,000 folks digital marketing in the last 2 years through the platform. But the personalized bond will get formed at the level of mentoring, not in the level of knowledge dissemination. Knowledge dissemination will get standardized, will get consolidated. But that one-on-one mentoring where, I mean, if you are doing something at UpGuard, you can click on saying, okay, I want resolution of this, or I want a mentoring, or I have an interview tomorrow, can I speak to someone? That piece, if we can open up and scale up, the beauty in education lies in the delivery and not in the content. If I can make delivery personalized, and not the content, understood. Is where the beauty will be.
Yeah, just to add my two bits to it, because there's so much of information symmetry in the world, there's so much of information, a glut of information, of course, knowledge sharing is not going to be possible. Actually, what you're saying is the delivery of knowledge and maybe coaching, mentoring are going to become more and more important.
Very interesting question for you.
You have
the luxury of teaching in an MBA school
like me and teaching in the BBA sort of thing, so undergraduate. To teach undergraduates well, do you need an MBA?
I'm of the opinion that both undergraduate education and postgraduate education serve needs in somebody's life.
Okay.
I'm of the belief that undergraduate education should be a lot very broad-based, because this is the time to explore a multitude of areas, subjects, interconnections of those subjects, and try to develop your own thought processes and perspectives. This is what undergraduate education is meant for.
Yeah.
Okay? Postgraduate education, and then you also pick up some relevant skills to get into the job market or start exploring your own and do into an entrepreneurial skill and so on.
Yeah.
The way MBA education has happened in India is a problem.
Yeah.
You know, if you just even look at the history of MBA, which is not more than 110 years of Wharton to begin with and then Harvard, you will realize that they were meant to solve the industrial problem of a particular time. MBA programs have come from the application of social science, mathematics, and humanities.
No, but Dwani, right? Hold on. Yeah. I understand what you're saying, and I know where you're coming from, and in theory, I accept what wherever you're going also with this argument.
Yeah.
But if you look at a MICA, and you've been there, people come to MICA because they have not got education of that rounded, broad-based nature in their undergraduate stream.
That's why no flame kids go. True, actually. Because they realize that it's not needed for them. They would might as well wait for and go to, you know, somewhere else.
No, so if you...
I buy your argument, and that's why a lot of reform is needed to make undergraduate education, and you and I have amazing chats on this, that to really, India mein kya ho gaya hai, unless few sciences like IITs and ISC and others, we have not really, really good undergraduate education. Our BSc, BCom, BAs, you know, Flame and Kriya or Ashoka or Jindal, for example, I was the founding professor at Jindal as well. When we created a really good undergraduate program in law and management and social sciences and others, people came to us and saying that tumhara dimag kharab hai, 6 lakh rupaye mein BA kaun karata hai?
Correct.
Because unke head mein kya hai ki BA to farji degree hoti hai, koi bhi kuch bhi kar lega, uske baad MBA karna hi hai. Which means MBA anyway becomes a default degree for anybody and everybody in this country, including truckload of engineers. So I've interviewed like so many in my life and saying that, yeah, why are you not using that engineering degree, what you learned for 4 years, for even 2 years to give back to the industry you've chosen 4 years for? And they will always have an excuse. Mere ko MBA ka, mere ko sirf engineering ko mara, mere ko MBA tha.
How many times have we heard it in interviews? Absolutely.
99% times. And this is the irony of it, that we are wasting talent pool, not making them come to workforce immediately at 21, 22.
Okay.
They should work for 5-7 years, then you realize that maybe I require. So I have a colleague, I have a colleague who has been to one of the best undergraduate programs in the world, It's been 10 years. And he tells me, Dwari sir, I don't think I need an MBA. That's a telling comment, and that's why we keep looking at even at our program and saying that this is what, like, that's that guy's Tejas, right? And Tejas keeps telling us to me, and he's from Stern, he's done his bachelor's from Stern, has realized, and he tells me that I really do not require feel back to Stern MBA or a Harvard MBA or something else, because my undergraduate degree was so good and so deep and so rigorous. And so exploratory for 4 years that I realized that,
I don't think this can be topped. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, we are just 5 minutes away from our 1 hour thing that I've stolen from your lives, but I just wanted one answer from both of you, and it's let me ask Mayank first. Dwari, you can go later. Who's the best professor you've learned from and why?
So that's a very good question. I think for me, there's a faculty member named Sudipta Mukherjee at IIT that actually he taught me robotics and he taught me mechanical design. But I don't think I learned anything on robotics or mechanical design from him. But what I really learned was how to actually look at problems and solve problems. And more by asking questions than by answering questions. And that, I think, has stayed with me for a very long time. One of the best learning experience was more around, you don't answer a question, but you just ask questions. And in the asking and exploration perspective, you learn a lot more. So while I think I did a little bit of robotics and mechanical design, but what I truly learned from him was actually the ability to think through a problem, break down a problem, and that's why the first time I truly realized what good education is. And I think over a period of time, I have had professors and teachers who have not been from the box of academia, who have taught me different things. But those were my first learning, and there are some school teachers and some teachers from my management education, but that one stood out because of just the very different learning that I got from that particular
faculty. Was it the way in which he was speaking, or was it his personal, the way in which he was speaking? So it connects.
It was the way, I think, I would just go to his room and there would be one book which is If God Rolled a Dice. And that made me, he's not necessarily a mechanical engineering faculty member. He was also an IIT Kanpur sort of student long time back. But I think it just built in me a very different way of looking and solving for problems, which you don't learn from a pure lecture, but we just learn from more interactions and football matches and chats and walks around at that point in time.
Wonderful. Thank you, Mayank. What about you, Dwari? Who's the best professor you've learned from?
I would not say professor, but I would say teacher.
Okay.
The best teacher I had when I was in grade 6, English teacher, Mrs. Aparna Mohapatra, she lives in Bhubaneswar now. We were in a very, so you need to understand the context. It was a tribal industrial belt. We were a Mewari place. We hardly spoke English at that point of time. And she was an English teacher trying to teach us English. And one thing which she did was not to teach us English, but she taught us to actually imagine and dream. And the words came on our own. So she was the one who opened our eyes to the larger world to imagine and dream what Mrs. Mohapatra. Secondly, unlike both Mayank and you, been to some very, very illustrious institutions where you might have found some amazing teachers. I'm a very modestly educated person. So I'm a very self-taught guy, right? And I've always believed that wish I could had that one professor which Mayank is talking about. But my best teachers were people they've taught me without being my teachers in a formal setting.
Mm.
So merely a lunch conversation, sitting quiet as a lowly research assistant at MICA, where the director Anil Kulkarni is saying something, would have taught me the entire world of what I teach today in marketing and consumer behavior. So my experiences with him have taught me amazing. And the last but not the least is my colleague and my friend and crime-in partner and mentor is Ram Kumar.
Okay.
Who just by his sheer brilliance and ideas, to question you, hammer you, making you uncomfortable all the time, when you thought that you solved all the questions, all the answers and you set up, this one guy will come hammer and tongs and completely take you away from everything and you're like, shit. And make you feel miserable and think that it's cracking. Three people learned and from them very, very differently. But amazing impact in my life.
Thank you. I think this, the last 5 minutes has actually taught me so much about teaching. And it kind of correlates to the theme that emerged out of this conversation with you guys for an hour, which is about kind of the teaching profession itself, or, you know, the learning thing itself evolving, changing, and maybe a little bit of a boost in COVID-19 times. I'd like to thank both of you for spending this hour with me. I hope that I have not pissed you off and at any point of time in this conversation. Or,
thank you for having us.
It's absolute fun, and wish you all the best for Ned. And I'll bid everybody goodbye. Cheers, guys.
Bye, Mayank.
Bye, Sid.
Bye.
Wow, that was a good one, right? More of where that came from soon. Want to reach out to me? I'm Siddharth Deshmukh and I'm the traveling professor on Instagram. You'll find the funny side of me there. And on LinkedIn, I'm a little bit more serious, but I'm still the traveling professor. To give us feedback, you can reach out to us on HT Smartcast. We are present on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, and YouTube, the usual suspects. To listen to more podcasts, log on to htsmartcast.com or suno naye nazariye se. And join me in the journey. Onward ho!
This was an HT Smartcast original.
HT. HD Smartcast.
I'm Annie Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Myles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.
Hey, Cam, mind sending me over our new Wi-Fi password?
Oh, sorry, Mitch, you can't be trusted.
What?
It's your phone. It's different than mine.
Cam! And I thought I was a judgy one.
No, it's just messages between different devices aren't encrypted.
Okay. Since when do you know about encryption?
I know what encryption is, and it's because I'm the last line of defense against any would-be Wi-Fi thieves.
Cam, come on.
Okay, fine. I'll send it somewhere more private.
Thank you.
Safely send messages between different devices on WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone.